Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. And we begin to read from verse 7. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you, be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Let's pray. We thank you once again, our God, that you've given us the Holy Scriptures. That one of the purposes of those Scriptures is to make us wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that if there are any here this morning who have not been made wise unto salvation, who do not have faith in Christ, then you would make that clear to them and bring them to faith by your word and by the working of your Holy Spirit in their hearts. And for those of us who believe, we pray that you would strengthen our faith and our love and our hope and our delight in the things of God, in Christ himself. Look upon us in mercy and then lead us into the truth as it is in him. We pray in his name. Amen. Our lives are full of uncertainties, and they are the cause of fears, doubts, anxieties, frettings. We've seen that uncertainty in the last few days. Who would have predicted the outcome of the referendum in this nation and the crisis that it's created in the two leadership parties, main political parties? It's produced a climate of uncertainty, of instability, and there are calls for calm while all the dust settles. But Christians are not immune to uncertainty. Christians have and carry with them their own doubts, fears, anxieties. Will I hold on to the end is a common fear. Will I run the race? Will I actually cross the line, still professing my faith in Christ? Will I endure? And sometimes our assurance of God and our assurance of the love of God in Christ and our conviction about whether we will persevere to the end is run ragged by things that happen to us and impinge upon us. Or you may be here this morning and you are not actually a Christian. And you're thinking, well, if I did become a Christian, would I last or would it just be a flash in the pan? Or you may be here this morning and you think that you are a Christian, but you never thought very much about whether you will last in that state and condition, and perhaps you hardly ever think about the Lord Jesus Christ apart from the time you are here on a Sunday. As we look at this passage of Scripture, I want to speak to you this morning and preach to you this morning, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That verse has been a great source of strength and an help and an encouragement to Christians in every single generation. The changelessness of Christ. That is what I want to set before you this morning. The changelessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The unfailing reliability. You can depend upon Jesus Christ. That is what I am saying to you this morning from this scripture. Now I'm going to slightly alter verse 8 and read to it literally what it says in the original. It doesn't alter the truth, but it gives a slightly different twist on it. The original says, Jesus Christ, yesterday and today, the same, and forever. Now you say, well, you're playing with words, that's a bit subtle. Well, I think it makes it even more pointed. Jesus Christ, yesterday and today, the same, and forever. It's a simple statement. Even the young children among you this morning can grasp what this is about, what the Bible is saying at this point. Yesterday and today and forever, Jesus does not change. Now sometimes you hear a sermon on this text and it dwells on what we call the eternal sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That becomes the focus. That's how the early church fathers understood this text. And of course that is true. But here in chapter 13, the writer is being more specific. It has a context. It's addressed to a particular group of Christians who were struggling in their faith, struggling to persevere, struggling to hold fast. They were not running the race particularly well sometimes. And the writer now is drawing the various threads together and says, I want to tell you, I want to remind you what I've been saying all the way through this letter, that Jesus Christ does not change. He is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. So verse 8 is clearly telling us, first of all, we are to focus, to think upon, to dwell upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Concentrate your attention on this one person. And the glory of this person, the glory of his offices and what he has come to do, and his grace, his saving love and grace. Make him the focus of your faith and of your love, so that you trust in him, you hope in him, and delight in him, and find satisfaction for your soul in Jesus Christ. Now many of you take photographs. You might use your phone these days or your iPad. Well, in days when I learnt to do photographs, there were none of these fancy buttons you could press, and often my photographs came out very fuzzy. Now all you need to do is to put it on there, focus it on the object, press lightly on a button and it goes into focus and a frame comes up so that you get whatever you're photographing smack in the middle. Well, that's what the writer is doing here. He's bringing to sharp focus for us. He's framing for us the person of Jesus Christ, making sure that his readers focus upon Jesus Christ. Not to the exclusion of God the Father, not to the exclusion of God the Holy Spirit, but his focus is upon Jesus Christ. The whole purpose of his letter is that they will hold fast to Christ, that they will persevere in the faith. From the very beginning of his letter, he has exhorted them, and there's a whole series of exhortations to hold fast. The first is in chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. And the things that they had heard were the things concerning Jesus Christ. Here as he concludes then in these verses, he's saying to them in the following verse, verse 9, don't go after strange and various doctrines. Don't go back to the old ways of Judaism, the sacrifices, the eating rules and regulations. Separate yourselves from that. Go out to Christ crucified. Be prepared to bear the reproach that comes from following Christ. Think about those who have spoken the word of God to you. Your rulers, your pastors, your elders. Those who watch for your souls. That is how they are described in verse 17. What have they preached to you? More accurately, who have they preached to you? Jesus Christ. Yesterday and today the same. And for eternity. What did they preach about the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, they preached about who he was. What he did. There's a whole varied, multiple thoughts about Jesus Christ. Now notice our text says, Jesus Christ. He is directing their faith and their love and their hope and all their desires and all their delight. He's presenting to them Jesus. Now many of you will know what that name means. It means simply Saviour. When the Lord Jesus Christ was born into this world, Joseph was told about the child that Mary was carrying. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And Matthew goes on to tell us, a virgin shall bear a son. You will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So here is the Saviour who is God in the flesh. And it simply says then at the end of that chapter, verse 25 of Matthew 1, he called his name Jesus. Now we're obviously stating some very obvious things. But we need to remind ourselves, is Jesus the focus of our faith and our love and our hope? He is Jesus, but then faith and love and hope and our delight in him must be our faith and love and delight in him as the Messiah, the Christ. Jesus Christ. Christ simply means the anointed one. The one who was promised before in the Old Testament scriptures, the Messiah, the chosen one of God. The term simply Christ is used 9 or 10 times in this letter to the Hebrews. And as our Messiah, he is our prophet. And our priest, and our king. And if we are to remember him and focus upon him, and focus our faith and love and our hope and delight in him, then we must delight in him as our prophet, and our priest, and our king. And what does that mean? Well, he is our prophet. And a prophet is someone who teaches us the things of God. It's a matter of revelation. The prophets in the Old Testament did not come and say, this is what I think. They came and said, thus says the Lord. We're told right at the very beginning of this letter that God has spoken at various times in various ways to the fathers by the prophets, people like Moses and then people like Isaiah and Jeremiah and other of the Old Testament prophets. But he has in these last days spoken, how? By his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. There is Jesus, the Christ, the prophet, the one who speaks The one who has spoken finally, fully, authoritatively. That was the problem the scribes and the Pharisees had with him. There he was among them as a prophet. They didn't receive the last of the prophets, John the Baptist. And now they didn't receive the final prophet whom God has sent. You see, there is something that we must prize. We have the scriptures. And there Jesus Christ is our prophet. All that we need to know for our faith, all that we need to focus on, is the one whom the Father has sent into this world. He has spoken. There are many voices clamoring to fill our ears and our minds with all kinds of things. The most important thing we need to do is to listen to the voice of the great prophet, Jesus Christ, the scriptures. As we will see in a moment, salvation is found only in him. He's the Savior. And as the prophet, he preaches and teaches about salvation from sin. But he's our priest. The Christ is our prophet, but he's also our priest. We read again in the opening verses of Hebrews chapter 1 that he himself has purged our sins by himself on the cross. And then he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And he is still there as our great high priest, interceding for us, administering grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. But he is great, he is powerful, he is the brightness of his Father's glory. He is the express image of his person. He is the eternal Son of God. Don't confuse him with angels. He is far greater than angels, and the writer to the Hebrews makes that very plain in Hebrews chapter 1. There in verse 10, "You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will remain, but you remain. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail." Which of the angels has he ever said this to? "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." You see, Jesus Christ is not some super angel, some super archangel. People are fascinated with angels today. Go into any religious bookshop, or any secular bookshop, I should say, not a religious bookshop, any secular bookshop, you'll find a row of books about angels. People are fascinated with those things. But our Lord Jesus Christ is our priest, and he's not an angel, he's not a super angel. He is the one who is the creator of this world. He is the one who is the same. And he is the one who is superior, according to the writer to the Hebrews, superior not only to angels but to Aaron and the Old Testament priests with all their many sacrifices of bulls and goats. For hundreds of years, there was a sacrificial system. Pints of blood, gallons of blood were shed. The blood of bulls and goats, but the Bible says, Hebrews says, the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away our sin. Jesus Christ is greater. Those sacrifices can never actually take away sin. And the priests, well, they keep on dying. They have to be replaced. That's the problem. They're prevented from continuing as priests. Ah, but Christ as the great high priest is totally different. He continues forever. We're told in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, "He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens." Does not need daily as those Old Testament priests. to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. In fact, he has a priesthood totally different from the Mosaic law and Aaron. This may puzzle some of you, may not have read about this, but he belongs to a different order of priests. He belongs to the order of Melchizedek. And if you don't know anything about Melchizedek, you have to read Hebrews chapter 6 and 7. If you've got some questions about that, I'd be happy to try and answer them for you afterwards. But he's no priest in the order of Aaron, but Melchizedek, according to the power of an endless life. Perfection could not be found then among the sons of Aaron. No sacrifice for sin. No priest who lasted. I don't know how many generations of priests there were after Aaron, the first high priest. But perfection could not be found among them. Perfection and full salvation is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read again to you some other words that were also set before these Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24, for Christ, there's one of the references, for Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another, an animal sacrifice. He then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. There he is, this great unchangeable high priest, who has offered himself once at the end of the ages. He has spoken finally and fully, and now he has come and he has sacrificed himself once and for all, offered up himself as that sacrifice for sin. And this is the Jesus Christ whom we must focus on. This is the Jesus Christ whom we must love. This is the Jesus Christ we must trust in. This is the one whom we must delight in and find satisfaction. Otherwise, we have no salvation. Jesus, the Messiah, the prophet, the priest, the king. In chapter 10, again in verses 11 to 14, we read finally there. My apologies, wrong reference. In verse 13 of chapter 1, to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool"? He is the king. He's not only the king over all of his people, but he is king and all his enemies, we would say, I think, in common parlance, will lick his boots. He will rule, he will reign till all his enemies are made a footstool for his feet. They'll be under him. He's our king. He rules over us to defend us, to protect us. He rules over all of our enemies. As the Messiah, as the Christ, as the Anointed One, he then is our prophet. He is our priest who has atoned for sin and prays for us now alive in heaven. And he's our king to rule over us and to protect us from all his and all our enemies. This is the Jesus Christ who is to be the focus of our faith and our love and our hope. And you see, why then the writer to the Hebrews speaks then of this Jesus Christ? And then he goes on to underline what he is saying by saying simply, secondly, by way of great encouragement, when you focus upon this Jesus, this Christ, you're focusing on one who is changeless. Changeless. He is always our prophet, always our priest, always our king. If you're going to resolve your uncertainties, your doubts, your fears, your anxieties, your frettings, and wonder, well, will I last? Will I be able to go on right to the very end? Will death somehow swallow me up and I'll be lost? Or I'll lose my faith? What you need to do is to keep coming back to the changelessness of this Jesus, of this Christ. What the writer is saying is, think through this with me. Feel the force of it. Draw out the encouragement. Suck out the goodness and the kindness of God so that you will continue to believe. And by continuing to believe, you will then persevere. Faith will be drawn out. Love to Jesus Christ will be drawn out. A hope and a trust and a confidence in Him will be more and more created and established in your heart. And you will say, I have to go to Him. There's no one else in this world who can satisfy the thirst and the longings of my soul. There's no one else who can resolve my difficulties, my fears, my doubts and my uncertainties. I'm totally dependent upon this Jesus, this Christ. And he is changeless, says the writer. And that has transforming power. It changes the way you act and the way you think and the way you are. It fortifies you. You know, sometimes we run out of physical energy. And the doctor says, you need something, a tonic, to strengthen you and to get your body back to where it once was. You're just worn out. You're exhausted. You need a tonic. Well, this is a tonic of the kind no doctor can ever give you. Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Saviour. The Messiah, the Prophet, the Priest, the King, whom God has sent and appointed. And he's changeless. Yesterday and today, the same. Now, yesterday here does not refer to eternity past. It refers to something, I believe, that was in the life and experience of these people who were in danger of drifting away. Now, Christ is eternally the only begotten Son of God. That is true. I'm not denying that for one moment, but I'm saying this is not what this text is teaching us. Yesterday refers to the time when this Christ was first preached to them by their leaders and their pastors, many of whom had now died, some of them under persecution. They are told in verse 7 to remember their past leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their life. Imitate their faith. They not only preached Jesus Christ, but they lived with their faith and their hope and their love firmly established in Christ. These leaders of a bygone era set a fine example that has been copied by you. And today could refer to the present group of leaders. Verses 17 and verse 24, they are there. They are mentioned. They who continue to preach the word of the God to them. This Christ to them. But the point you see that he is making is this. Jesus Christ was the source and the object of triumphant faith. And the outflowing love of those men who first preached the word of Christ to them. Those who first taught them the word of God. And he's saying this Jesus, this Christ is the same today. He's the same all-sufficient Saviour, the same almighty Prophet, the same compassionate and powerful Priest, the same authoritative King. He is all-powerful and He does not change anything of His power, anything of His sufficiency. The passage of time, the uncertainties of the present do not affect Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday and today and forever, for eternity. You're safe, you're secure, your faith, your love, your hope is in this Jesus, this changeless Jesus Christ. He will continue forever. Jesus is changeless, and so is the truth concerning Him that we preach to you. For the focus of our attention is Jesus Christ. So verse 8 is telling us, the same Christ who was with your former leaders is with you, He's with us, and will be with your posterity forever, even to the end of the age. The Jesus, the Christ, whom our forefathers believed and preached, He doesn't change. He's the same today, and He will be the same tomorrow, and He will be the same unto eternity. You cannot say that of anything else or anybody else in this world. Not even our Queen, who's been Queen for so many years. One day she's going to die. Politicians come, politicians go, we know that. Empires come and empires go. Where is Babylon? Where's Assyria? Where's the Roman Empire? Where's the Greek world? It's gone. But there is one kingdom and one king, one prophet, one priest, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Has that gripped your heart and your soul? And you say, that's it. That is what it's all about. And if that wasn't the case, where would I be? Where would the Church of Christ be? Where would my hopes of salvation be? You can link it up, if you like, with a previous verse in verse 5. We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I have Jesus. I have Christ. Yesterday and today the same, and for eternity. And that means one simple thing, my friends. Thirdly, that if you focus on the changeless Christ, you will and you must persevere. Because in the end it's Christ who saves you. This Jesus, this Christ, who saves you. And the same way as applied to the first readers, it applies to us. This great and glorious truth about Jesus Christ, it belongs to you who believe. It applies to you in every particular situation in which you find yourself at any time, in any place. Wherever you go in this world, whatever happens to you, this truth remains. Jesus Christ. Yesterday, today, the same. And forever. Everything that is guaranteed, it's all tied up, safe and secure. The changelessness of Christ. That's what the scripture says. That is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what this writer is setting before them. That is what Pastor Jeremy and I and other preachers here, we set before you this Jesus, this Christ, in all His changelessness. There is a constancy, there is a total reliability about Christ. He is the same. His years do not fail. Even if the heavens and the earth pass away, as they will, He remains. And His word remains. The truth remains. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's why He's able to minister grace and mercy to us in our time of need. He's a compassionate priest. He's actually been here. He's been tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He's able to minister to us. Who do you know like that? That's better even than a mum and a dad. It's better than a husband or a wife. Because it's pity and compassion joined with power. That's our Christ. That's our Jesus. So what I'm saying to you this morning, that if that is so, then let your love and affection be on Christ. Lay hold of him with full purpose of heart. Stock up your minds with the things about Jesus, about the Christ, your prophet, your priest, and your king. And remind yourselves that he is changeless. Bring your fears and doubts and anxieties and uncertainties. Put them there, and then put the changeless Christ here. And you'll get things back into perspective. And you will realize that your fears and your doubts are unfounded. It's really a form of unbelief. Your faith, sadly in this life, is not constant. It ebbs and it flows. Your love is to Christ is not constant. It waxes and wanes. There are times when our sense of the love of Christ and the changelessness of Christ overwhelms us like a great spring tide. Other times when the tide goes out and we wonder whether we're coming or going. There is no one degree of faith, one degree of love. It varies. It varies, but nothing of Christ varies. Your faith and love may vary and go up and down, ebb and flow, but the changelessness of Christ means he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't it amazing? What an amazing Savior Jesus Christ is. Superior to angels, better than Moses, better than Aaron. Boys and girls, he's superior to your mum and dad and your grandparents. Far superior to this pastor. I'm not directing you to look to me. I'm telling you about Jesus Christ. It's no use trusting in me and what I say. I'm setting Christ before you, changeless. He's my hope. I love him. My faith is in him. And I know that your perseverance and my perseverance, my stability, my holiness, your maturity, your joy, your standing is in this Jesus, this Christ. Have you grasped a hold of him by faith? And do you delight in him and find enjoyment in him? Not just here for 50 minutes or so, an hour or so in a sermon and a service, but tomorrow, the day after, for the rest of your life. For death stares you in the face, but our Lord Jesus Christ has conquered death. And he will appear on that day to raise you from the dead when he comes again in his glory. Perhaps your grasp this morning is not very firm. You know, I can grab a hold of this desk. I'm not going to let it go. Is that how you grasp a hold of Christ? Your faith is weak and frail. It's not very tight, you're losing your grip. Then strengthen your faith. Take what you have heard this morning. Jesus Christ, yesterday and today the same, and forever. By filling your mind and your heart with these multiple thoughts of Christ, your prophet, your priest, your king, your saviour, then you will strengthen your faith. This is the Christ in whom many of you here this morning now believe. Some of you more recently have come to believe come to trust in Christ. Let your faith in this Christ be strong and sure. Don't rest on previous experiences. Go out further with greater determination to lay hold of this Christ, to get a firmer grip upon him, to increase your love, to stir up your faith and your hope, and to love and delight and find enjoyment and satisfaction in Christ. I will not say you will never fear again. I cannot promise you will never doubt again and have anxieties again. But I can promise you this, you go back to Christ and he will never fail you. Because he's the same. He is the same. Changeless. Changeless in his love. Changeless in his wisdom. Changeless in his power. Changeless in his grace and ability to save. If you're not a Christian here this morning, I would urge you to come to this Christ, because he's able to save utterly and completely. He said, I'll lose none of those who the Father has given me and who come to me. They'll never perish. They'll never be lost. They'll never be forgotten. I spoke earlier in the sermon about a fuzzy picture, a fuzzy photograph. I hope you do not have a fuzzy picture of Christ, that you have a clear sight of his glory. And Christ is the Savior. Christ is your prophet, your priest, your king. And you've got a hold of him with both hands, grasping firmly onto him, loving him and delighting in him. The unchanging Savior, who gives us an unchanging and unchangeable salvation. We bless our God and our Father, who has sent his only begotten Son into this world. Here he is. Let us hold fast to him and persevere to the end. Amen. We thank you, our God and our Father, for sending Jesus Christ, your Son, into this world. And we confess what a mighty and powerful Saviour he is. Changeless as our prophet and our priest and our king. Our great Redeemer and our Lord. We bow in acknowledgement of him and pray that all our faith and love and hope may be drawn from him. He is the delight of our souls. All our spiritual enjoyment is found up and bound up with him, and all the blessings that he bestows upon us. O Lord, save everyone who is here, we pray this morning. Draw them unto this Christ. Save them from their sins, that they may find all their doubts and fears resolved in him. Lord, hear us and bless us now in his name. Amen.